This episode is brought to you by IVP. Use promo code IVPWHP, that's IVPWHP, at ivpress.com to get 40% off and free U.S. shipping on any IVP resources mentioned in this episode.
Would you like to experience the story of Christmas in a fresh and meaningful way? In his children's book, Birth of the Chosen One, Terry M. Wildman captivates readers with a retelling of the birth of Jesus, adapted from the Gospel of Luke in the First Nations version, an indigenous translation. This Christmas, experience the birth of Jesus through the unique and immersive tradition of Native oral storytelling. And as a listener of this podcast, you can receive a special discount on this book. Check the show notes for more details.
This is IVP. Welcome to the Wholehearted Households podcast. I'm your host, Alex Blunt. In every episode, we spotlight a book of the Bible, share a discipleship nugget for you and your family, and end with a spiritual practice to draw closer to God. Have you ever had a friend who showed up for you in a hard time in life? Someone who went above and beyond what a normal friendship would require? Who spent their time and resources to make sure that you were cared for? Well, that is the kind of friendship we're talking about today in the book of Ruth. Even though this is a story where it might seem like God is taking a back seat, we can look closely at this short but powerful book to see that it actually holds great wisdom about God's beloved community and its transformative power for our families. Let's invite God now to be with us during this time together. Dear God, may you open our ears, our minds, our souls, and our whole hearts to receive whatever you may have for us and our families today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today's Bible Spotlight is on the Book of Ruth and is adapted from Redeemer, God's Loving Kindness in the Book of Ruth by Dorina Lazo Gilmore Young. The Book of Ruth occurs during the time of Judges, a brutal time in history when the Israelites experienced a repeated cycle of following God, forgetting God, doing terrible things, suffering the consequences, and then begging God for help. This context makes the story of Ruth even more meaningful. Set against the harsh and brutal backdrop of Judges, we encounter a tender relationship between three women, which models the tenderness of a gentle and loving God. The first chapter of Ruth describes three widows: Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. Left in Ruth and Orpah's care, Naomi prepares to travel back to her home of Bethlehem. Yet as they go, she is moved by her deep love for them and desires to release them from any obligation to her. Ruth chapter 1, verses 7 through 9 says, "With her two daughters-in-law, Naomi left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband.'" In this passage, God's character and his heart for the marginalized are revealed through the words of Naomi. Different translations include some nuances in the phrasing. For example, the English Standard Translation says, "May the Lord deal kindly with you." The Message Translation says, "May God treat you as graciously as you treated your husbands and me." And the Christian English Bible says, "May the Lord deal faithfully with you." The prominent word in these verses is the Hebrew word hesed. Our English Bibles often translate this word as kindness, love, steadfast love, or loving kindness. All of these get at a piece of hesed, but not its entirety. It's difficult to translate hesed into an English word because it embodies many concepts, including mercy, loyalty, steadfast love, covenant faithfulness, extravagant generosity, and loving kindness. God is our example of hesed. He embodies covenantal, unwavering, and unconditional love for us. Naomi offers her daughters-in-law a blessing of God's hesed and rest. When Naomi urged her daughters-in-law to go back, she also kissed them, and the women wept loudly together. Here, we get a glimpse of their deep bond and love for each other. And this love points us back to the extravagant love of God.
Now it's time for this week's Discipleship Nugget. Ruth and Naomi have a remarkable friendship, one that's characterized by loyalty, care, sacrificial love. When Ruth makes her declaration of commitment to Naomi, she includes every aspect of their lives together, where they live, where they travel to, and even the God that they're going to worship. This isn't merely a bond created by family ties or shared circumstances. This is a spiritual friendship. And if you haven't heard this term before, spiritual friendships involve cultivating a relationship where we intentionally share about our lives with God. These friendships are grounded in our respective relationships to God and a commitment to support, encourage, and pray for one another. Cultivating spiritual friendships can take a lifetime, but family members of any age can begin that process by simply becoming aware of the friendships that already exist in your lives and identifying ways to invite God into those relationships. Parents, start by getting curious. Ask your kids who their friends are and why they like or are drawn to them. If you're part of a church, who do they connect with there and why? Then, if any names or friendships come up that seem particularly suited to a spiritual friendship, find one way that you or your child can invite God into the midst of that relationship. It could be as simple as asking that friend to pray or praying for them if they're struggling with an issue. And this goes for you too, parents. Even though this practice is meant to help your kids begin to foster spiritual friendships, I hope you're surprised by the way God brings to mind people that you might want to invest in more deeply too.
The story of Ruth and Naomi is striking, not because its characters accomplish heroic feats or embark on epic journeys. Actually, their story is remarkable precisely because of how human it really is. Ruth's words speak across the millennia, straight to our hearts. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. This isn't an impassioned declaration of romantic love or even a set of wedding vows. This is a promise of friendship between two widowed women whose society has abandoned, and it's a profound picture of the power of community. For today's spiritual practice, we'll follow the example set by Ruth and Naomi by embodying the reality of God's family. In the Spiritual Disciplines Handbook, author Adele Albert Calhoun describes the importance of community. She quotes Henry Nouwen, who says this in his book, Making All Things New. Community as discipline is the effort to create a free and empty space among people where together we can practice true obedience. To create space for God among us requires the constant recognition of the Spirit of God in each other. Take a moment to bring to mind one or two friends that you have recognized the Spirit of God in. These could be old friends you haven't connected with in a while or newer connections that you want to strengthen. Send them a quick text, voice message, or email expressing the specific ways that you recognize the Spirit of God in them. Maybe they have a gift for seeing and encouraging others or are acutely aware of the suffering and brokenness in the world. Maybe they create beautiful art or think deeply about beauty. Whatever it is you see in this person, articulate that to them and thank God for their life.
Thank you.
If you'd like to extend this practice outside our time today, consider inviting this or another friend into an aspect of your life you might not otherwise think to do so. Going grocery shopping together, or finally painting that room you've been meaning to get to for months. Or it could be as simple as a weekday dinner with your family. No extra tidying up or special recipes, just your family in all its beauty and chaos. The activity itself doesn't matter too much. The point is to extend your understanding of family beyond just your immediate family unit, to more deeply embody the family of God, and to experience the transformation that can happen when you create space for God among you.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Wholehearted Households Podcast, a production of InterVarsity Press. We pray that you and your family have been blessed by this episode as you seek to follow Jesus with your whole heart. Please check out our show notes to learn more about the books, resources, and authors referenced in today's episode, and use code IVPWHP to get 40% off and free U.S. shipping on any of these books at ivpress.com. This podcast was made possible by the generous support of the Lilly Endowment. If you appreciated the resources in this episode, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or on your favorite podcast player. The show was written and produced by Karen Sabella-Stallard, Caitlin Borek, Abby Lee, and Travis Albritton, and narrated by Caitlin Borek, Jack Reese, and Karen Sabella-Stallard. I'm your host, Alex Blunt. Join us next week for another episode of the Wholehearted Households Podcast.